Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Good Guys, How Men Can Be Better Allies for Women in the Workplace by David G. Smith and W. Brad Johnson is a non-fiction business and leadership book focused on gender equity at work, published by Harvard Business Review Press in 2020. It argues that men are not peripheral to workplace inclusion efforts, but central to them, especially because many men occupy positions of influence. The book is designed as a practical guide, rather than a theoretical manifesto, combining research, interviews, and applied workplace advice to show how male allyship can be translated into daily behavior. Its purpose is to help men understand how bias operates, how women experience the workplace differently, and what specific actions can reduce exclusion and support advancement. The book also speaks to women and organizational leaders who want a clearer framework for encouraging meaningful ally behavior and building more inclusive professional environments. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why gender equity work must include men as active participants. The book also shows why men may resist involvement. Some do not perceive inequality clearly, some fear making mistakes, and others assume supporting women means losing status. By addressing these barriers directly, the authors make the case that allyship is not instinctive but learned. This helps explain why passive agreement is insufficient. Men may support equality in principle while still benefiting from inequitable systems in practice. The book's value lies in making that tension visible and actionable. Secondly, the three levels of allyship: interpersonal, public, and systemic action. The three-level framework is also practical because it gives readers a progression rather than an abstract ideal. Some men begin with relationship-based behaviors, then learn to intervene publicly and eventually contribute to policy or culture change. The model makes clear that allyship is cumulative. Simple acts matter, but they are not enough if organizational rules, evaluation systems, and leadership norms remain unchanged. By linking daily conduct to structural reform, the book shows how individual behavior and institutional change depend on each other. Thirdly, concrete behaviors that turn allyship into visible workplace practice. The authors are careful to connect these behaviors to trust. For example, transparency and consistency help avoid misunderstandings, especially in cross-gender professional relationships, where rumor and suspicion can discourage cooperation. The book also stresses that supporting women is not limited to helping individuals. It includes creating conditions in which women are heard, developed, and promoted fairly. This moves the discussion from isolated acts of courtesy to a repeatable pattern of professional behavior. In that sense, the book is less about symbolic ally identity and more about operational workplace conduct. Fourthly, how the book explains the cultural and organizational barriers women face. The book also highlights a psychological obstacle. Many men do not recognize these patterns because they experience the workplace as normal. By making bias legible, the authors help readers understand why well-meaning people can still participate in exclusion. Their analysis is useful for organizations because it suggests that training alone is not enough unless it changes norms, decision processes, and accountability structures. The book, therefore, broadens the reader's view from interpersonal fairness to the hidden mechanics of advancement. That analytical move gives it more depth than a simple advice book. Lastly, why the book treats allyship as a leadership skill with benefits beyond gender equity. This framing also helps explain why the book differs from many workplace equality titles. Rather than focusing only on women's barriers or on organizational policy in the abstract, it connects ethics, behavior, and leadership practice. Readers are asked not only to support fairness, but to improve how they operate in teams and institutions. And the result is a book that works as both a gender equity guide and a leadership development resource. Its strongest contribution is showing that inclusive leadership is not separate from effective leadership. It is part of the same skill set. In conclusion, Good Guys is best suited for men who want to support women at work, but need a clearer sense of what that support should involve, as well as for women, managers, HR professionals, and organizational leaders who want a practical language for male allyship. Its main benefit is that it turns a broad cultural issue into concrete workplace behavior, listening, sponsoring, speaking up, and helping shift systems that preserve bias. Readers who want a framework that is both research-informed and immediately usable will find the book especially useful. It is also valuable for teams or companies that want to move beyond awareness training and towards sustained cultural change. What makes the book stand out is its combination of accessibility and specificity. Many books on gender equality focus either on diagnosing injustice or on advocating broad policy reform. Good Guys does both, but it is most distinctive in giving men a step-by-step model for participation. The book does not assume allyship is automatic, and it does not reduce it to good intentions. Instead, it treats allyship as a learned leadership practice that affects everyday interactions and organizational systems. That practical, behavior-based approach is what gives the book its lasting relevance in the workplace equality genre. If you would like to support David G. Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.